Hello, everyone. Welcome to another big week of Australian Survivor. I'm your know-it-alls, Nick Iadanza, and we are back to discuss the big merge week of, I guess it's not really merge week. It's the week after the big merge week. And I wanted to go back to that thing that I really, really enjoyed a couple of weeks ago. Who doesn't love a good three-way? So this week I've brought in two fantastic guests, two good friends of mine, and let's just dive right in. We have Matt and Kat. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Kat Dumont.
Thanks for having us.
Look, guys, Kat Dumont, Matt Tarrant, two of my good friends, people who I played Survivor with, and I am so happy that you guys both came to join me to talk Survivor. How have you been, Matt?
I've been good, Nick, and I'm really loving these three-way chats. I think it's always great when you want to have a chat to all these Survivor contestants, but there are some that obviously probably wouldn't have the pull to get listeners in. So you need to bring in someone that's, more entertaining, well-known and popular throughout the fan base. So it's also great also to have Kat here as well. So she'll be good. So I'm looking forward to hearing some of her thoughts because we didn't get to see a lot of her on the show. So it'll be nice to hear from her today.
Kat, rebuttal.
I just don't even want to speak to him because let me remind him that Joel Creasy, and I've got this tweet and I'm happy to tweet it out if I need to, but Joel Creasy was like my number one fan. He was like campaigning for me to be on I'm a Celebrity. Matt, no one in their right mind would ever say anything about you. So just remember that.
Guys out there, if you're wondering why I set up this pair, it is for this exact reason, because Kat and Matt are two of the funniest people I've met, and put them in a room together and it's literally just them bickering the entire time. So I cannot wait to dive into all this Survivor stuff and hear their, I'm sure, diametrically opposed views across the entire podcast. This is going to be fun, guys.
We're ready.
All right. So, guys, it was a big week in Australian Survivor. I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to dive right in, okay? And the big question that we have been trying to answer all season, what should I name my child?
I gave you so many options. There's so many.
Definitely not them. This is just the running theme of this season. I don't know why, but, we'll get that out of the way straight away. So that's not the big question. The big question is this. This is the biggest question that's come out of this week. Where the hell was Shane? Matt.
How can you go from being such a dominant player in, a week of episodes to then not existing in another two? I cannot read her edit whatsoever. I don't know what's going on with Shane. One week I'll love her, and then the next week I'm not sure what I'm loving because there's nothing to love. So
I don't know.
Where's she gone? I don't know. I missed it this week. I just hope it comes back. But it's probably a good thing for her in a way. Yeah. I mean, I don't think she's leaving anytime soon, but I just want to see more of her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we're going to go through this chronologically as we always do, and I want to start off with the opening of this week. We get this really quick, conversation about Shanella. Shanella, the two people who the fans on Twitter are absolutely loving, Shani and Finella. We've spoken a lot about them this season. This week, not a ton from them, but we definitely get this opening that I thought maybe is some sort of foreshadowing that they talk about that apart from being absolute hoots, that they say they're going to slip through the cracks and then rise to the top, that they can't get rid of them. Kat, is this something that is on your radar?
Absolutely. I think, it was really a strong opening with them, realizing that they're slipping through the cracks. And I think they even said, we're happy to float to the end. And I think that was quite good in terms of showing that, yes, they have been under the radar, but they know what they're doing. They know that that's their strategy. And I think that's actually setting themselves up for going quite deep in the game and showing that, they're not dumbasses. They're not just these bimbos that everyone thinks that they are. They actually do have some kind of strategy. And, that's not everybody's strategy. And I know that a lot of big Survivor fans will hate that is their strategy. But I think they're playing under the radar. They're just playing along and they're finding those cracks, and they've done that really well. I mean, there's three contenders left in the game and they seem really well positioned at the moment.
Yeah. And I love that. They're slipping through the cracks, but they're a pair, and pairs are dangerous and pairs attract a lot of heat, but that pair is still there. So hopefully it can last all the way to the end. It was Shannon last week said that Shawnee was her winner pick. I don't know about that. I don't know if I've heard your guys' winner pick. Did you have a winner pick before the season, Matt? Who was that?
I think I was a big fan of Shan. I also like Tegan. So they were probably my two choices if I were to pick one from
either tribe.
Clearly
that means your pre-season winner pick was Tegan, and now you're trying to shift it to Shan because she's doing well.
No, it was literally either of those because I think they're both somewhat similar at least. But I definitely, Tegan was always my favorite for sure.
Kat, you're calling bull crap on that one?
Yes, always.
Okay, good.
I found it really hard to have a preseason winner's pick. I thought obviously the way that the cast was announced was a little bit difficult to get a good read.
Yeah.
But I did like Lydia, and I thought that she would do quite well. And I actually thought Fenella might be a bit of an underdog, and I just thought her audition was hilarious.
So funny. So
no real like strategic threats there, but yeah, those were probably my two from the outset.
Well, from us calling bull crap on Matt's winner pick, now let's talk about someone else calling bull crap. And this was Sam calling Shan's bull crap on the moral dilemma. Now, us three have spoken about moral dilemmas before in the wash up from season one. We don't need to go all the way back to that. You know, it's not important what happened in season one. You know, we can just gloss right over that moral dilemma, I reckon. But, you know, what was your thoughts initially when you saw that there was going to be a moral dilemma this episode and that Shan was having to go and pick between these vegetable things? Matt, what were your thoughts?
I think just instantly you just know that whoever gets chosen is going to be in a terrible position no matter what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, we've spoken about it so many times. We're yet to come up with a solution that works and will actually have you in a better spot. And I think everyone saw that. Even guys like Robbie, who has no idea anything about Survivor, he was well aware that this was not a good thing to really be going for. It was a bad decision for her to go there. And it wasn't going to end well. So,
But don't you think that Robbie is like, it was the perfect chance for him to put his hand up? He's on the bottom. He was just like, you know, that he was just blindsided. He's one of two people left who didn't vote for the person going home. Clearly, he's going to be, you know, if the next target, if not the second next target. Wouldn't you just put your hand up for that, Kat? Don't you think if you were in Robbie's position?
150%. Because, you know, like, I know. I was at the bottom and I would have done anything for that glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
I don't agree at all that it was a terrible position. And I think if you are really savvy and you know the game and that you can speak, I think you can easily twist it when you come back to camp. And as long as you cover your ass with your story, that can be really successful. So I did think it was interesting, though, that Sam was the only person to question it. And I thought, yes, Sam. And then he made that really stupid comment that, oh, she must be playing an individual game. I'm like, oh, yeah, dickhead, it's post-merge. So that was really annoying because I really had high hopes for Sam. But, yeah, I think I don't agree that it's a terrible position because someone like me, someone like Robbie, we would have done anything to have that second chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but someone like her, and you say if she's well-spoken and if she knows the game, Nick is those exact two things, and we've still yet to come up with a solution that would work. And I think anyone that has watched any season of Survivor that has a moral dilemma is well aware that that's what's happening. Right. And they know whatever you come back with, I just still don't know how you get out of it.
Okay.
And I don't think you can. I think she's lucky. She's in a position that she's in a strong place in the tribe. So she has trust. So it's okay for her. And you're totally right. Someone like a Benji or a Robbie should have tried to get out there, but the other guys weren't going to let them either.
Yeah,
that's not how it's going to work.
There was a couple of things. So obviously, like you say, I think you're 100% correct. I do not think that anyone would have let them go. And I really like what Matt did. He was straight away. He was like, Shan is like someone who's in his alliance. That's not him. It's kind of like, you know, you want to make sure that you have the control without being the one riding out the front. So that was good. But like, I think that why she could get away with it is because these aren't people who've seen every season of a Survivor before. Yes, they may have seen Australian Survivor, but how many of them remember season one, to be honest? You know, these aren't people that are going to go, oh no, this is what happened to So Kim in the first episode of Worlds Apart. You know, they might have a vague recollection that something happened to me, but when they think of moral dilemma, they'll just probably think of like Jericho eating cookies or something like that. So I think it kind of works in this group. But this is what I
maybe, but Sam hasn't watched any Survivor and he knew. So I don't know if it's as clear cut as that.
Yeah, true. But this is what I think is the fundamental difference, right? I really do believe that this is different to the moral dilemma with an idle clue, right? And I think I've come up with something, and you tell me what you guys think. You weigh in on this, right? So getting a moral dilemma, you know, where you get an idle clue or something that you want to hold on to for as long as possible, that has long-term ramifications. Why I think this one was different is because it had an expiration date on it. It wasn't an advantage that you could use at a future challenge. It was at the next challenge, you will have an advantage, right? So that's tomorrow, or maybe it might have even been the same day. We don't know. And I think that she actually did the right thing by taking that reward. But I would have done it a little bit differently. And you guys tell me if you think this is a good idea. I think that you take it and you don't make it a secret. Now, this is what I did last time, but this is different because you say, look, guys, I had the choice. You can come up with some lie about, oh, you know, it was either an advantage for some of the people in the tribe or just an advantage for me. But I don't think anyone in this group of people, these real, you know, competitive sports people are going to begrudge you saying, look, I had a chance to get an advantage in the challenge. I took it. It might work for me. It might not. Because if it does work for you, you can't go home. If it doesn't work for you, then it wasn't that much of a challenge anyway, and people aren't going to begrudge it to you. What do you think about that? Kat, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it really depends on the individual who is faced with the moral dilemma, because some people aren't savvy enough to think on their feet and to come up with something like that. For me, I probably wouldn't have told the truth at all. I just think that it's going to put you in too much of a tricky position. There's always going to be someone that's jealous or someone that's not on your, you know, in your alliance and trying to gun for you, and that's the perfect excuse. So I don't know, but I think sometimes it could work the way that you've mentioned it, but I personally wouldn't be a fan.
Matt, what do you think? Well, what's your take on that?
I mean, I think it's one of these things. Do you want to tell the whole tribe, or if you were in a position where you had a strong alliance that you were fairly confident that they were working with you, you might come back and say, hey, look, I thought it might be something that as a group we'd be able to benefit from by having, you know, maybe even me win immunity so it stops someone like a Robbie from winning immunity, because I'm going to hopefully win now that I have this advantage.
Yeah.
And you can play it off like that. That makes sense. But you would have to be in a position where you are very confident in your alliance and very confident the people around you, as Kat said, wouldn't feel like, you know, you're trying to get ahead of them as well.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that, you know, Lydia just got booted out for being a challenge competitor. And then now here we have Sian, who like beat her and now is, you know, she might be thinking that the crosshairs are on her. So maybe it's a good idea like that she actually took her. So I've got no problem with it. I think it's very hard to tell a lie that's going to convince a big group of people, even if you can convince all of them, unless you can convince all of them, which is really hard. I think that, you know, you got an uphill battle. So, you know, I don't have any, you know, too big of a, you know, thing to talk about. A lot of people on Twitter were saying, oh, just get the vegetables and just throw the vegetables in the forest. Like, you're not allowed to do that, guys. Like, that is 100% not allowed. You know, Tegan and I were like, great. And I opened the little bag of rice and went to go tip it in the ocean. And they were like, no, you have to walk back into camp with it. And it's like, ah. So, yeah, you're not allowed to do stuff like that. I thought of that as well. So, yes, interesting to see them going back to that well, the old Survivor AU playbook. Kat.
But things are different this year as well, Nick. Nick, people get opportunities this year to do things that we weren't able to do. You know, we saw Benji go in the water a couple of weeks ago for an idol.
Yeah.
We weren't able to do that.
Yeah.
We saw this week Matt come back from a challenge bringing back presents.
Yeah.
And there was no way we could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and then, you know, he's finding the idol in the well. Like, that's all chance, which we never got, which I think, it's very different this season.
And it is a different show, but that's, you know, it is what it is. What did you, Kat, what did you think of that brutal disc challenge where you had to hold up the disc thing? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was good. I'd like to see something a bit different. And I thought that it didn't really play into anyone's particular strength, which, you know, a lot of the other challenges have been playing into, like, the small people, for example, who can stay up on the pole and that kind of thing. So I think this was quite good that it was a bit of an even playing field. But, man, I would have not liked that at all, because I could just see not only the upper body strength that you need, but then when your hands start to sweat and they get slippery and when it's hot. Like, yeah, it's a no from me.
We Matt and myself and the other Adelaide survivors did a big watch party, and it was ended up being Robbie's boot episode, which we didn't know. And Robbie was there, and he said that was 10% of your pre-game weight, which I think was pretty interesting that it was your pre-game weight. Because I thought that was interesting. But what did you think, Kat, about Matt saying in the end, "Oh, I'm going to give it to you, Sean," and he, "Do you want it?" And then he kind of like let go. Did that kind of annoy you, or did you think that was a good idea? What do you reckon?
It really annoyed me, but it really did. It showed that he's in charge. He was showing that he was in charge. He's like, "You know what, Sean? If you want this, you can have it."
That would annoy you. That would annoy you.
And I was just like, dude, she didn't need your help. Like, she didn't need you to give her that. But I definitely think it was a strategy for him to show Sean that he's still in control, and to show the others in the tribe that, he still has power. So I think from his point of view, it was a really good thing, but it really infuriated me.
All right. So the big talk of this episode, it was Benji and Robbie, basically, because, these are the people who are on the bottom, on the bubble, it's all about what's going to happen to them. Matt, what have you been thinking of Benji and Robbie this season? Because you're very vocal on Twitter, I've got to say.
Yeah, but I can delete tweets. I don't know if I can delete this podcast after it's posted, Nick.
even if you delete it, Kat will come back and tell everyone exactly what you said on Twitter. So it's okay.
Recording it as well?
So he can't edit it after, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I think everyone's been well aware of my and probably most people's opinions of Robbie's game. But even as I said to him the other night, watching him, especially in that last episode, he had a really solid last episode. And there wasn't really much more he could have done, at least in that situation, I don't think, for his last step. But prior to that, I don't know. It's really hard. I feel like I'm getting such an outsider's perspective as well, because I'm getting influenced by his influencing on social media that is just annoying me to no end. And that's probably clouding a little bit of my judgment about his game itself. But I haven't loved his game. Benji has been probably the most entertaining character, I think, this season, and continues to be. And the latest episode, how he managed to get out of that as confident as he was to not play his idol, I had a lot of respect for that play. It was a stupid play, I think, but from an audience perspective, it looked stupid. But yeah, good on him for doing it. I wouldn't have had the balls to do it.
Kat, you team fluff and pump?
No.
Why?
Well, I don't actually think I've disliked two more contestants in a very long time.
Really? So would you say, of Australian Survivor? Because I think there's a few people that...
I mean, yeah, season one doesn't count, but they literally just drive me insane.
Right. What is it that they're doing that's driving you insane?
Well, Robbie, let's start with dear old Robbie. So clearly he's gone on there just for the Insta fame. He doesn't have any kind of gameplay, or he doesn't give a shit about Survivor. He just wants to get his gram followers up and do it for the likes. You know, his Instagram, his latest posts, double tap if your boss has ever made you stay late after work. Comment below for a shout out. I'm like, dude, this is not what Survivor is about. So that just really grinds my gears. And Benji. Oh, Benji. Oh, he just infuriates me. I literally can't express I won't say hatred. I'm trying to articulate it in a nice way. It's not hatred, but it's just infuriating. I don't know. He acts like he's really entitled, but I find him super shady, and his Instagram interaction is really unauthentic, and that also drives me insane. But yeah, I don't know. He's just a bit shady, and there's something about him which does not. Yeah, it doesn't gel with me.
Here's two tips. Don't ever follow Australian any survivors on social media, because you will not they're different to that, or they're not what you want them to be. So don't do that, people. But also, if you're Robbie and Benji and you're listening to this, which they're not, don't be too upset. It doesn't take much to infuriate Kat. So I was 2 minutes late to start this Skype call, and I swear she was like about to cut the friendship and never talk to me again. So
Don't waste my time, dude.
Don't be too upset, Fluff and Pump.
But Kat, Benji's game. If you cut out the Instagram stuff, I want to know what you think of Benji's game, because it doesn't frustrate me as much as his outside of the world stuff does. I think is that would you are you the same or do you hate his game as much?
Well, I think he's really arrogant in the game, and he also has had no idea what's going on until this last episode. So the last episode, I think he's actually, you know, this pains me to say it, but he's kind of redeemed himself in that he's shown that he's aware, and he's shown that he is willing to put down his, you know, closest ally's name to get ahead in the game. And, you know, he knew that he had to put Robbie under the bus before him, and I did respect that. So I think, yes, he's showing that he knows the game, and, you know, he's willing to play dirty. But, yeah, still, he's not my fave.
If you guys were out there on this season, what would be your Fluff and Pump name? Have a think, because I think we can figure something out, because forget Fluff and Pump. You got Matt and Kat here. We can come up with something here. So
leave it with that.
Maybe like
I feel like Fluff and Pump could still work quite well for me and Kat, to be honest. She's a lot of fluff and there's a lot of pumping going on up my oh God, I can't even get that sentence up.
No, I would say that it's fluff because you like when you grow a beard, you just get these really crummy little fluffs poking out of your chin or something.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. We get a little bit of Monica this week, you know, and we haven't gotten much. It's been, you know, she may be having the worst edit of all Australian Survivor, and that would be including someone like, you know, Pete or Ben or something like that. But, you know, so Benji decides he's going to take her aside, and he starts to give her this spiel, but it's the same spiel that he gave Shawnee a few weeks ago. And while that worked, I think it was because Shawnee needed him at that point. Monica doesn't need you. Like, I don't see this happening. I think someone tweeted this out. It may have been Shannon, but it was something that I've been thinking, that it seems like he only talks to people at the 11th hour when he feels he needs them. Now, there could be other conversations going on, but like every time he pulls someone into the woods, it seems that he's like, you know, like, I know we haven't spoken a lot, or like, I know we've been under the radar, you know, and it's just like, people don't want you to come there for your vote when you're in the minority. They want you to feel like you are part of their experience. Has anyone noticed this, Matt?
Yeah, there's been a few people that have this say about their games as well. I think Heath was another one that where he was called out after to say, hey, you should have come to me earlier.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
sure if these guys have realized how important the social game is and that you really don't want to be kicking off people at all. And even if you don't want to have a relationship or an alliance with them, you just can't be cutting them all off. You know, there were plenty of people that I played with that I wasn't considering an alliance with at any time. But you just can't cut them off completely, because otherwise it destroys your game when your game gets turned around, basically. So whatever they're doing, that's, I guess, the one thing that a couple of the players this year maybe haven't been too forward-thinking. They're thinking maybe at them now rather than what potentially may happen to change their game.
So, Kat, you know, so Benji, you know, it's kind of like, where to for Benji now? So he's kind of like, you know, trying to figure out what to do in the wake of Lydia going home. He's gone to Monica. But the big conversation that we get is that he's trying to forge something with Shan. And it seems like Shan is willing to entertain that and kind of had Benji as a backup plan, which I like, because it seems like Shan knows that things with Matt might turn sour. What's your thoughts on this whole Shan-Benji alliance? Is it good for them? Is it not working? What do you think?
First of all, I'd like to comment that I like the way that you say spiel.
Spiel? You don't like that? Spiel.
Yeah, no. It's still, but that's okay. We'll move along. I think Benji as a backup for Shan is really clever. You know, she's really smart. She knows that she's in a good spot, but she also knows that she needs a backup if, you know, something goes wrong and she hits the fan. So I think she's in a really strong position. But I did really like it. I'm not sure if anyone else realized, but Benji was talking about, you know, making social connections, and he was doing this spiel. And then the next minute, the camera, the camera showed a slimy octopus. I don't know if anyone else saw that, but I just laughed so hard because Benji was talking about this. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to make these social connections, and it was clearly bullshit. And then this little slimy octopus came into frame, and I was like, that is just great. That even the editors are summing up that that's okay, well, the way he is.
We've all had some other animals represent us. It's okay. Welcome, Benji.
But yeah, I do think that he probably thinks he's tighter with Shan than he actually is, and he probably is, as you would being at the bottom, really like clawing onto anything. But yeah. Shan is really smart and she's keeping her options open, which I do like.
Yeah, she seems like she's a pretty good liar, you know, and I think that she lied well about the moral dilemma. But in the conversation with Benji, I really liked what she was saying. She's like, "We're still good, right? You know, we're 100%. You know, it seems like." The way she was delivering it, either it was real desperation or like she did a good job of like making it look like I need you, Benji, not you don't need me. And I think if that's intentional, which I assume it is, I think that's really good. I think that's a way, you know, I've never really thought about that. That's a maybe way to get people to make it look like you're not lying is like almost kind of, you know, I need you, not like, you know, oh yeah, let's get this, let's make this happen. Kind of like the way that Monica responds. I think that seems a bit disingenuous. So I liked it. I thought it was good. But the, you know, other than Benji, we have this whole thing with Robbie. So, you know, what is it about that? So Robbie has this scene with Matt and Matt is very honest with Robbie on the beach. Matt, what's your thoughts on this whole, like this really honest, well, not really honest, but this like somewhat honest approach about, look, you're going home. This is a couple of times we've seen this season where people say who's going home and kind of give away the plan in some way.
It seems to be a thing that Australian Survivor loves to do. I mean, we did it. There was a bit of that in our season as well. I know that's kind of how the L, I think, plan fell apart at the final five for me, where Flick went and told L that she was going home and it caused panic. I think with someone like Robbie, I don't know. It's maybe a little bit more comfortable telling him, but just why? Why do you need to do that? I guess you know he's going on the jury. So if you're doing it as a move to make him feel okay that, you know, oh, you know, I tried to do my best, but unfortunately we have to get rid of you. That is the only thing that I guess comes into consideration. But it's just not a smart move because you don't know who's got idols, who's playing what, who's playing you. So to put your plan out there to the person you're targeting, I just... logically, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me in any situation.
Yeah, it did seem like jury management because he said the exact things that Robbie would want to hear as well. Like, you know, you've brought out the best in me competitively. You know, it's been an honor. Like all those kind of things that like someone like Robbie would really value. But, you know, Kat, why go so far as to then tell him that he's splitting the vote? Like, you know, why do you think he did that?
I think it's exactly like Matt said, believe it or not.
Oh, my God, what?
Jury management. What?
Did you guys just agree on something?
Wow. Note this down, guys, because it's never going to happen again.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, it's literally jury management. And because Robbie, you know, Benji had said to him in the episode, you know, Matt's coming from you, bro. He wants your head as a trophy. That was the exact line. Robbie was well aware. So for Robbie to then turn around and think that, you know, he wasn't Matt's number one target would be really naive. So I think he knew. But of course, Matt's going to try and say, you know, oh, we're going to split it or, you know, we're trying to look at other options, but you're the only option at the moment just for that jury management. So. Yeah.
Well, I thought that, you know, does, you know, in terms of telling him, yeah, there's one thing to tell him that you're going home, but another thing to tell him about splitting the vote. And this is, I thought, is it a chance? And, you know, Matt is a good player, but like, is this maybe giving him too much credit? Is it to kind of show that, look, no matter what you do, guys, it's futile? That either way, if you've got an idol, one of you is going home. Because if they didn't tell him about the split vote, is there any, you know, obviously they would assume that they're splitting the vote, but is there any thought that, you know, maybe Benji would have given his idol to Robbie or something like that? Like, is it a way of going like, if you've got something, it's not going to work because we can split? Like, is that giving him too much credit? Whoever, jump in.
Yeah, I think it's giving him too much credit.
Okay.
I'd like to think that's what it was, and I'd like to think of Matt. Like, I genuinely really like Matt as a player, and I think he's playing a fairly good game. But, yeah, I don't think that was his intention whatsoever there.
Okay. Interesting. So if we're talking about Matt, it kind of becomes the, you know, he is the other option really that can Robbie and Benji cobble something together to get rid of Matt. And it seems like Sian isn't really buying the plan. It seems like in my opinion, she's kind of stuck with Matt for now, but you know, we get this segment about Shawnee and Fenella, right? And this is where, you know, Benji goes to Shawnee, says, you know, she controls Fenella's vote. Let's see what we can get happening here. And instead, and Matt, you were with me in the room, you know, next to Robbie, and you hear Fenella say, yeah, no, Robbie's annoying. Like, I want to get rid of Robbie. Like, that got a huge laugh in the room. The poor guy, that would suck so bad to have to sit there and just listen to that. But, you know, it seems like they were not super keen, but like Shawnee does say, you know, feelings aside, you know, who should we go for? So, you know, Kat, you're Shawnella, right? Let's just say that Matt, you and Kat are Shawnella. Like, even though you guys will nowhere near ever be as good as the glory that is Shawnella, what do you think you would do in that situation? Is there any reason for you guys to go with Robbie?
Yeah. Not at that early stage. I think, you know, they're playing it really smart at the moment. They've kept the target off their back. They're playing with the majority. And I think it's going to be the next couple of episodes where we actually really see their power come through, because I think, you know, aligning and trying to flip it early on with Robbie was just too soon. So yeah. I think, you know, they'll be willing to do it, and I'm excited to see if they have the balls to do it. But I think they know that, you know, the timing was not right.
Yeah. So you think that definitely they should have just done what they did, which is gotten rid of Robbie, voted with the majority. It obviously pays off dividends next episode because, you know, Matt wants to bring them in, etc. So, Matt, would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they knew at that point that Robbie was – he'd already turned on them at one point in their game. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. Why is he going to welcome them in and open arms in? We don't know what conversations were going on prior to that, because as you said, Matt does then welcome them in. Potentially they had been building up some form of friendship and relationship. And I definitely think, looking at the champions that are left, get the feeling they might be more open to letting people like a Fenella and a Shawnee into their crew than a Robbie would. I mean, yeah, Robbie wants to be a champion. He wants to be with those guys. He has no interest in in being alongside the crazy girl from Melbourne with the crazy hair and outfit and this, you know, the pro skateboarder's wife. He has no interest in that whatsoever. So it was the right move to make.
Okay, so I did a bit of thinking, right, about, you know, could this have been pulled off, right? And it actually very, very easily could have been pulled. Not very easily, that's, you know, a bit of a set. But there is a way that they could have made this work. And it only would have worked if the contenders were on the same page. Now, I've been saying for weeks now that it doesn't matter what Robbie and Benji do. They cooked their goose weeks ago with the whole Tegan thing, that they kind of jumped the gun on that. They really didn't need to do that. And it's just bred way too much animosity that has extended the entire game. But look at it on paper, and Survivor is never just on paper. But we have Fenella, Shawnee, Robbie and Benji, which is four, plus we have an idol. Even with a vote split from the majority, they wouldn't have had enough people to be able to ensure that one of the contenders definitely went home. So if Fenella, Shawnee, Robbie and Benji put their votes on Matt and they played the idol correctly on Robbie, because everyone knew that Robbie was going home, it was a fait accompli, everyone knew that, there would have been four votes or five votes or six votes cancelled on Robbie, and not enough to do a backup on Benji, and the four votes from the contenders would have carried the day. Now, I know Survivor's not on paper, but like, it just seems like there was a way that it could have happened. What do you think?
You forgot about Shawnee's extra vote as well.
Yeah, and then there's that as well, and we'll get to that. There's other ways that
It literally could have been done. But the boys burnt their bridges a long time ago.
Exactly.
Like, you know, why would the girls ever, you know, they've been burnt twice now by them. So why in hell would they give them a second chance?
No, like, I agree. Yeah, I agree. It doesn't, but it's definitely not in Fenella and, it's not in Fenella and Shawnee's best interests in this situation. I reckon they would have been fine either way for the next couple of votes. It definitely was in Robbie and Benji's best interest. And I think that this again, is one more example of why what they did 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago has definitely meant they cannot go that far in this game. Matt, you with me or what do you reckon?
It was the dumbest move they could have made back then, and it was always going to come back to them both, or at the very least one of them. And Robbie was always going to be the first to go. Will Benji follow closely after? He seems slightly more game smart, I think.
I think for sure. Definitely. I think Benji's game smart.
But then, Robbie's last episode, at the very least, he seemed a bit aware and he seems a bit knowledgeable, at least more than what he was for a lot of other previous episodes. I don't know. I don't think Benji is as game smart as people like to think he is. And just because he's a previous castaway's brother doesn't mean that he knows everything about Survivor. And I don't think he was a major fan himself. So, I don't think he's a super fan or a super knowledgeable Survivor person. At the end of the day, he was smarter than Robbie. That was always going to fall against him eventually, and it's happened now.
I want to talk about Sam, because we'll talk about more about him in the second episode, but just in this one here, he has this opportunity. Robbie and Benji come to him and Robbie's like, look, come on, like with your vote, we can make this happen. And I do think that it wouldn't all fall into place. You've got to get Shawnee and Fenella, which I don't think they would ever be able to get, truly. But he says that, we can make this happen. But I do believe that if Sam, Benji and Robbie got together with Fenella and Shawnee, I feel like Fenella and Shawnee would have felt more empowered to make that move. And I think that this is where Sam will kick himself forever, this moment here, because it's too late the next episode. And the next episode was a hot mess for him. I don't think there was anything he could have done in the end. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like this is where Sam lost his opportunity. He just was blindsided so badly about them wanting to get rid of Lydia. And, he was so angry about that. He had an opportunity to try and make this happen, and he got scared and didn't do it. But the weird thing is that when you listen to his jury villa, he says, if there's one thing that I would go back on a note to give myself, it was don't try to make a big move too early. And it's like, no, that's not what happened in my opinion anyway. What happened is that you didn't take this opportunity and get Matt out now when you had the chance. Kat, thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. Sam has really frustrated me as a viewer. I think he showed lots of glimpses of hope and he showed that he could, be an influence in the game. But yeah, he just really let himself down those last couple of episodes because he had a chance and he didn't take it and it came out to bite him in the ass.
Yeah. Well, in the end, we get the final thing is that, Benji decides to vote for Robbie. What do you think about that, Matt? Is that the right move? Is it good to go down with the ship, or is it going to prove loyalty? Is that loyalty even worth anything when you're under such duress? What do you think?
Well, it's worth an extra vote. It saved him the next episode, didn't it? I think so. I mean, there is a call that maybe it was the right decision to make. You would have to be pretty certain that you know exactly what's going on, though, because as we've said, there were so many options potentially for them to put something together. And before we get off of it, I think looking at some of the champions who are left outside of the core group of your Matts and your Steves, there are people there that I think would look to get rid of Matt previous episode. Guys like your Bryans and possibly even your Monikas or your Shanes, they may be happy or willing to make a move with a Robbie and a Benji and a Sam at that point. So that's what they missed out on. There was a lot more opportunity than just a Sam, Robbie and Benji vote.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Even not considering Fenella and Shawnee, you don't necessarily need both of them either.
I feel like they definitely would have been able to make a move. They will go, I think, where the numbers go. And if it's an uphill battle, they're not going to do it. But I feel like if you can prove that there's enough people, then they will do it. Benji says at the beginning of this episode, like you said, Kat, he goes, he wants your head. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to help that at all. Like that was literally the quote. I'm not going to help that at all. It's like, whoops, that changed in a day because he ended up actually voting for Robbie. Now, Robbie told me at the viewing party that he told Benji to vote for him, which is, that's a nice thing to do. And, you can't begrudge Benji doing that. But, yeah, it's definitely funny that he did the exact opposite. And that just proves that when they put something in the show, like, it's there for a reason because it's going to come back if for some reason. Do you think that if there's anything that Robbie could anything else that Robbie left on the table, because he does kind of like do this big argument at tribal council, but Kat, anything else he could have done, or was it just too little, too late, all done, see you later, good night, Charlie?
Absolutely. I don't think he had any chance.
Yeah.
You know, he'd burnt his bridges too early on. He was showing that he was willing to flip really easily. It's showing that he didn't really have a grasp on the game and didn't understand that what he was doing, you know, was putting him, you know, front and center as a target. So, yeah, I really don't think he had anything left.
Well, let's go to the next episode. And after some, you know, boring stuff about Commando's birthday, which we can go right over that, we go to the reward challenge. Did you guys like this reward challenge, like the surf life-saving kind of, you know, activity when they had to, like, you know, if people, you know, one of the Australian surf life-saving things is that you know, you lie down and then you turn around, you go grab something out of the ground. What did you guys think of that challenge? I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm not sure why the final round was different than the rest, though. I don't know how I felt about that. I felt like if you were going to have to bring it back, do it for the whole time rather than just the last one. I mean, I get why they didn't do that, but it just seemed a little bit weird.
It would have been cool if three had to wrestle and get it back over the line. That would have been cool.
Yeah, add a bit more to it. But it brought me back of school memories of having to do that when I was a kid, and I was terrible. So,
You did surf life saving?
I think I did like one of those, like, go out for a trial day, and I didn't. I lasted about 3 hours, and then I went home and played Neopets.
Yeah. Matt, and for everyone out there, Matt is the person that when we were on Survivor, he said that he hadn't been to the beach in like 7 years or something like that. So you were trying to be a surf lifesaver.
I did swimming lessons as well for a little while. I wasn't a bad swimmer. But,
my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Surf life-saving Maddie. I like it. Oh, my God. I thought that challenge was pretty cool, how like you just, like, Shane was just, like, dive-bombing people like Monica and Sean at the beginning, like, Shawnee crushed Sean's head into the sand. I thought that was so cool. But it does seem like, you know, the challenge department, A, ran out of money this episode, because it was like, we'll just get a couple of idols in the ground and a steel grate for the immunity challenge. It's like they wasted all their money on all this giant wagon in, like, episode 4. But I thought that it was really like the challenge department were like, okay, let's come up with a challenge that a former rugby player cannot lose. Like, you couldn't have come up with a better challenge for a rugby player. They already had the kicking a goal challenge for him. And now we've got this, like, let's run really fast and then tackle someone for an object. Like, that is what he does for a living.
I think it was quite interesting. First of all, we have to point out that Monica's, you know, continues her horrendous challenge history. Bless her cotton socks. Because, she was first out.
Again, okay.
And what I really did not like was Steve. I was like, dude, I really liked you until this episode. When he's like, oh, I just didn't want it. I'm like, righto, mate. Like, you're not just going to give up on a challenge because you didn't want it. Like, that just really pissed me off.
Again, let's add the tally. Let's add the tally of things that piss off Kat in this episode. Like,
but seriously, in a game where you have nothing, where you are stripped back and, you know, they have the chance to win a shower and food and, like, I'm like, dude, give it a go. Don't be such a pussy and, I'm just going to sit out. I don't want it. That just really pissed me off. But it also, the challenge was definitely male skewed. I think it didn't really give the females a chance. I thought that there could be like a males competition and a females competition, and then they had two winners, because I mean, you know, the guys, some of the guys, if Robbie was in there, he obviously really would have tackled the girls if it was down to like a final two. But someone like Matt, I don't think he would have tackled a girl. to win. So I didn't love how it was so skewed, but I thought it was cool to do something different and something super simple. Like we hadn't seen that.
Like the simple challenges. I think they're good. It kind of what you're saying before about the kind of the woman tackling the man. It's kind of like what happened in Survivor New Zealand this season with the challenge in the mud, and they kind of just called it off because
and with Eve.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't feel comfortable
because they saw Eve getting pulled through, and they were just like, we don't feel comfortable, so we're just going to forfeit it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's a tiny little, a little bit different in the fact that that was like physical freaking, like that looked
mud
terrible.
Wrestling, yeah. Matt, in your experience, what do you think about these kind of choices about kind of like, so Matt wins and he decides to take Fenella and then he decides to take Sian. So what do you think about that?
I think if you're going to make a decision like that where you're bringing someone from outside into a reward like that, you have to have, I don't know, it can't be that blatantly obvious about what you're doing. You have to come up with some sort of reasoning around why. And all we came up with, I think, was, oh, she's funny. Like, I don't think that cuts it. I don't think his alliance are going to buy into that. So you have to either have had a chat to them previously and say, look, I want to bring in Fenella to a smaller alliance or whatever he's deciding to do.
Yeah.
He has to either let those people that he trusts know, or his excuse for bringing them has to be something completely different.
Yeah, like whether they haven't had a reward in a while, or they came second or something. Yeah,
that makes sense. Not just, she's a bit funny. Like, that's just not going to cut it. And you can see instantly Sam was like, well, come on now. I think it was Sam who was like, why would they be bringing her? So, yeah, it's just one of these things. I think I like it, and it's a very smart thing to do. And to have rewards like that does allow you a really good opportunity to form bonds. We've all experienced that sort of stuff. Maybe not Kat so much because she didn't win a lot of challenges, but the rest of us have. And those experiences, they build trust. So if you can do it, great. You just want to be smart about how you're getting that person there.
Kat, would you like to respond?
No, sorry. I literally tuned out.
Did it cut out then? Okay, cut out. Voices,
it all just mumbled into one and I just tuned out. Sorry.
Where he chooses Sian, and I thought that was like really, you know, this is just continued Sian management. You know, he gives her, you know, put that in quotation marks, the immunity last episode. He takes her to the spa. I think that Matt realizes that the only person who is going to, you know, and I think Benji says this. Benji says that, you know, myself, Sam, and Sian are the, myself, Sam, and you, he says it's to Sian, are the only people who can stand in Matt's way. And I actually think that that's true. I think that everyone else can stand in his way, but these are the biggest people who, if they really wanted to pull something off, these are the people that could do it, particularly Sian. And I think that Matt recognizes that and he realizes why he has to kind of keep her close. But did anyone notice that, like, when he brings up at the reward, they're sitting around and they're drinking wine and he's drinking champagne, and he says to Fenella, you know, do you want to be part of this smaller alliance? Did you get the feeling that Sian didn't know he was going to say that?
To be honest, I didn't even notice that. The thought didn't even cross my mind. So, you know, she could have had that. Oh my God, I'm just done now, like completely fumbling my words.
Okay, we'll do it. No, we'll start again. No, that's fine. Okay. And we'll go with Matt then. Matt, what did you, okay, go now. Go.
Yeah, no, I didn't really have a huge feeling. I didn't notice it. That was kind of, I guess, the obvious thing. It wasn't something that I picked up anyway.
Okay, well, just if she didn't know, I think that is problematic because it just kind of adds to this kind of godfather mystique where he is kind of calling all the shots. Like, that's a dangerous thing to bring someone into an alliance without letting your alliance know. So I'd like to kind of maybe like hope that she knew and it was a kind of like a two-pronged thing that they were both going to work on together. But I don't know. I think that if anything is going to be Matt's undoing, and I actually think he's going to go all the way, but if anything is going to be his undoing, it's this perception that he's not going to be able to shake, that he has a stranglehold on this game, because eventually, you know, there's people are going to get sick of that. We're only at the final 10. You know, he's got a lot of votes to get through. So, you know, that's just something that kind of popped into my mind. Last season we had the Champagne Alliance, guys. Is this the new Champagne Alliance? You know, it was formed over champagne And this could be the thing that kind of makes the moves, this vanilla piece of the puzzle moving in. Do you think it has legs, Kat?
I think it could potentially have legs. It really depends if Shan is willing.
Yeah.
I really think that she's the kingpin at the moment.
Okay.
I think that she has a lot more influence in the game. And at the moment it's like, what Shan wants, she's going to really get.
Yeah.
So if she is open to working with Fenella and using her as a pawn in her game, I think she would definitely be up for it. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Matt looks to her as his kind of right-hand woman, so he'll take on board her thoughts and her feedback. But I don't know. It'd be cool to see those three get to the end, but we all know that Shani is a huge part of Fenella's game, and
yeah.
will be, you know, that threesome will definitely be at least a foursome, which, you know, is quite strong as we, you know, the numbers dwindle down.
I was really impressed with Fenella, like saying, yeah, you can have me, but like, you have to have Shani. Like, she said it twice, and like, you could tell the way she was saying it was like, no, this, we're a package deal kind of thing. Like, I was impressed by that. Did you think, Matt, what did you think?
Is that an impressive thing to be that blatantly obvious with who your duo is? I don't know if it is.
I agree with you, but I think like that ship sailed like weeks ago. Like they are so true, obvious true. That anything other than saying that I feel would be disingenuous.
That's true. But I mean, I think from looking at a game perspective, if we were out there seeing that, it should bring alarm bells up. I mean, maybe it didn't for us either.
I was going to say, with Ellen Lee, and that did not.
Ellen Lee and Brooke and Flick as well.
Yeah.
It didn't. Anyway, it should.
Exactly.
And maybe for some reason it doesn't. And I don't know why it doesn't, but you look at it from an outsider's perspective and go, it is so blatantly obvious. And there are positives of being a strong two, but there are also a heck of a lot of negatives as well. Because
yeah.
at some point, you are going to have to break off from each other. And I still can't work out if this Shanella alliance is strategy or if it's just they like each other as friends, because I'm not getting a huge amount of strategy from either of them, really. It's more so I'm liking them because I like them.
Yeah, it's
rather
definitely
than I like any of their game.
It's definitely friends and then you know, alliance afterwards, which is the best. It's the best way to form an alliance, I think. And it's kind of like what I always say about my wife. We were friends first and then we got together. And I feel like that's the best way to create a relationship, because you know you want to spend time with each other. You actually have the same interests. And then the other great stuff comes with it. So, yeah, I can see it. I can see that being the reason. I want to talk about, you know, this is, you know, Sam kind of like, comes into focus here in this episode, and it's in the pre-tribal scramble. Like, there was a lot of stuff here about what Sam was saying and what he had said, and it just felt really obvious to me. Now, Matt, you tweeted out that, like, oh, good on editors. Like, you know, they really had me guessing. To me, this was the most obvious episode of who was going home. Like, I felt it was so, it was a two-episode lead up to Sam's ouster, because I just felt like it was really that the writing was on the wall. And I don't know whether it was because my personal experience in the game shows me that big alpha males don't like a weaselly person trying to talk their way out of a situation. But I definitely felt like that nothing Sam was going to say was going to convince Matt or Sean or Steve to stay with him. What do you think, Kat?
I think it was obvious in one way, but not so obvious in the other, because Sam really hadn't been in the spotlight before. He'd never had a vote cast against him. He'd never been, you know, a big challenge threat or a strategic threat. We hadn't really seen him in the firing line. So I think from a viewer's perspective, it was a little bit of a shock. And because Benji had been, you know, holding on by his fingernails, and we'd just seen Robbie gone, you know, people probably thought that there was still a very good chance that Benji could go home. So I don't know. I don't think it was as clear cut. And for me as a viewer, it wasn't as clear cut as how you saw it. I just think because we really hadn't been introduced to Sam in that kind of trouble before.
Yeah. I just feel like the you know, when you're looking at the edit, like, you know, we don't talk too much about the edit on this podcast, but just like if you're looking at an episode and the person who's trying to cobble something together is only shown having individual conversations. It's never kind of like a collective, everyone at the same spot. I feel like that's the sign that that plan is not going to work. And especially if you never hear what the other people in the, who are being pulled into the alliance, if you never hear them talk about it in the confessional, about them kind of wanting to do it, then it's just we are what we are seeing is the artifice that they are giving to that person when they're being spoken to. So I don't know. I just feel like if you look at it, that the most they could have ever had in that group was five: Sam, Benji, Fenella, Shawnee, and Monica. That was the five that they were pitching that he had spoken to about getting rid of Matt. And then that's still not enough because there's a tribe of 10, you know. And then the red herring of Benji going home, I don't know, I just didn't feel like that we were getting enough, but, you know, that could have been me. What did you think, Matt, about this discussion that Matt and Sam have around Lydia? Did you make heads or tails of what the hell was going on?
No, not really.
Okay, good. So it wasn't just me. Okay, good. Kat, do you have any idea what the hell was going on there?
No, I think it's definitely something that wasn't aired. And so as a viewer, we were like, what the hell are you talking about? I think I was a bit like, what are you talking? Like, yeah, I was confused.
Yeah. I think what, okay, I've thought about it a little bit, just which is why I was late to the podcast. Sorry, Cam. Was that I think it that what they got was the conversation where, you know, it was at nighttime. It was just at the merch when Sam and Lydia sneak off down the beach, and he says, you know, watch out, people are probably going to come for you. Then I think Lydia has a conversation with Matt that identifies that she was going home, that the show couldn't use because it would have been too clear that it wasn't a blind, well, it wasn't as big of a blind side as she thought it, as they were painting it out to be. So they couldn't include the bit where Lydia went back to speak to Matt about what Sam had said. Because if you watch Sam's Jury Villa, he says Lydia ratted me out to Matt just before she went home. Mm. So I feel like that's the missing piece that we didn't see, and we couldn't see, because it would have made it not a much as much of an epic blindside for Lydia. Thoughts?
Yes, spot on, 100% accurate. I think that's exactly what it was. There was literally nothing in the edit to show that's what had happened. You can definitely see the moment where it probably did happen, but as you said, they can't show it. Otherwise, yeah, it is blatantly clear what's going on. And yeah, if you watch his Jury Villa, as I said, you do see that moment where he mentions it. I think that's exactly what happened, Nick.
So why was Matt? So this was Matt in full Godfather mode, right? You know, he was talking about, you know, he was guilting Sam so much, like, I can't believe it. I can't believe you would say that you would do that. You're the person I trust the most in this, on this place. And that very well could be the case. They've been together every single day. It's not the story we're getting, but like, it seems like he was being so incredulous and just like laying the guilt on super, super thick. When we had just seen a conversation that he had had with Fenella saying, you know, let's make the alliance me, you, Sean, Steve, and you, Fenella. You know, so Matt is having those conversations without Sam. And why was Matt so, so incredulous? It was just kind of annoyed me. Kat, what do you think? You get annoyed at things like this? Were you with me?
No, not really.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No.
The one time I want you to be.
Why were you annoyed, Matt?
No, it annoys me because of a similar situation of a similar player in our season who was doing all these things, but then would preach to others that would try to do them too and be all about something else, the mateship in the game, and to say, you're trying to play this sneaky game when he's doing it himself. And if it is part of a strategy, like if Matt is putting that on as hard as he is, as part of a strategy, that's great.
Yes.
And that is brilliant if that's what he is doing. But I don't think he is. And I think he is genuinely looking past the fact that he is also doing it too and putting that on Sam, despite the fact that Sam isn't doing anything any different to what Matt himself is doing. But for whatever reason, he's somehow able to look past that in his mind. Maybe it's some sort of sportsman thing, I don't know. And he doesn't see himself doing the same thing despite the fact that he actually is.
Yeah, and it's
and
not,
that's yeah, frustrating.
You're so right, because if he was doing it to Sam as a way to go like, yeah, I wanted to get Sam out anyway down the road, but like, I'll just use this and get rid of him now, and oh, I'm going to lay it on really thick, that's awesome. And that's the kind of player I thought that, and you know, it could still be that what Matt is, but it's when he then goes into his confessionals and carries the same argument is when the hypocrisy starts. And that's what annoys me. And I'm sure it annoys other people. Like, it's fine in the game. You say whatever you have to say out in that jungle, you know, whatever. But in the confessionals, we are told you always be truthful to the audience. And if that's his truth, then I don't like the way that I don't like his approach to the game. Now, he's a far better Survivor player than I ever will be. And he's got a stranglehold on this game at this point. And it's working perfectly for him. So I'm the bigger fool than he is. But it's just kind of like, I actually thought that Matt was a little bit different. I thought that Matt was going to be someone who was like, look, I don't want to do these things, but the game demands it. So I'm going to do them. Where in actual fact, it's like, I don't want to do these things, but I'm going to do them. And if anyone does them to me, then they're doing the wrong thing. And that is the difference.
I think he's a bit stuck in a position as well where he is a very well-known commodity in this game. And people in the outside world, and you do, I think he would have a natural approach at some points of trying to protect his brand as well. And,
of course, yeah.
And that is maybe something that we don't want to hear as fans of the show, but it is probably what's happening out there as well. So I'm sure there are times where he is saying different things in confessionals, and then maybe in the back of his head he's going, I can't be this character. I have to maybe put on a little less. So I don't know. I have a bit of hope that he is a much stronger player than at times he's putting on to be. And for how he is set in the game and how the moves that have been made around him and by him have been played, I have hope that that is actually the case. Yeah. So I don't know. I haven't lost all hope in Matt yet. I like him.
No, either have I. But like, it was just like, it was the first, like, you know, I got to say, he's the first big alpha male Survivor player that I've been rooting for in a long, long time. And it was just like, I was like, oh, you're just like the rest of them, Matt. Like, I'm some jilted lover that's kind of like had it, you know, it's been done to me again. Like, you know, I trusted you. I thought you were going to be different. But that's kind of like, you know, that's, I think that says more about my neuroses and
you.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
Like someone said on Reddit, Matt, I think you screenshot it and sent it to me that like Sam Webb broke me. Oh, he broke me.
He still breaks you every day, every time he posts something on Instagram, mate. Your head still explodes.
Oh, God. So, Kat, what did you think about this? Like, you know, we see that the bottom people aren't going to get together and vote out Matt. That's not happening anymore. He's won immunity. And then now we get this kind of like battle of who can throw the other person under the bus quicker between Benji and Sam. Who did you want to win? I would assume you wanted Sam to win, yes?
Yeah, I did. I think Benji's done his dash. And it, I don't know. I think it's just a really interesting time in the game because there's a real clear divide in the alliance. And, you know, Sam, that's the kind of the first time he really realized that and really saw that, I think. So, or the Lydia boat, obviously. Yeah, I don't really have an opinion, to be honest.
What about the fact that, like, Sam, like, and this is something that happens on Survivor, right? And I think I've talked about it earlier in the season with Paige, that when someone becomes like persona non grata, like you get pushed out of the herd just a little bit, it is so hard to get back into the herd. And then all of a sudden everyone kind of turns a blind eye. It's kind of like, you know, like this whole like Nazi Germany thing, like, oh, we won't pay attention to what's happening over there. We'll just kind of like look the other way when our, you know, the people that we used to like, you know, are getting in trouble and, you know, hope it doesn't happen to us. Like, I feel like that's kind of what was happening with Sam. And like, it's such a hard feeling when you're out there and you know that like, You're done. You it's happened. It's your turn. You can't clamber your way back into the fold, into nestle safely into the middle of the flock. That's a really tough feeling, and I think that's a feeling that all three of us have felt out there in the game. Kat, would you agree?
Yeah, but like, hello, look how far he's got without having to feel that. I had that on freaking day one that I was on it out. You know, like he has coasted along this whole time, Sam has, and now he's like, oh shit, I'm on the outer. So yeah. I don't have any sympathy, like none whatsoever, because he has not had any struggles in the game to get to where he is so far. Whereas I do have some respect for Benji and the fact that he has had to fight.
Yes.
So,
oh, look at you. Yeah, I think, I'm so proud of you saying something nice about Benji.
Who am I? Times are changing.
Could Benji have made something happen with his idol? Because, you know, he was – he, you know, it does take balls of steel to sit there when you know that your name has been thrown around and not play your idol. So I give him big props for that. But is he didn't know particularly that he wasn't going home. There's always a chance. Like, is there a way that he could have made it work and still kept Sam in the game? Or was it the fact that Sam had tried to throw him under the bus at that point, go, ah, I'm not going to even try anymore? Matt?
I'm not sure if it's important for him to keep Sam in the game. I get that Sam obviously did want to align with him at a point, but I think Benji's decided, at least in my mind, he's gone, you know what, I can get in here with Matt and with this crew of guys who are going to go a long way in this game. I can get in with them, and I can then, a little bit later on, when I think it's time again to attack, I then can. Now he has an ability to sort of sit down for a little bit. He can relax a little bit. He still has that idol, so he still has that security if something does go to hell again. But now he can kind of sit back, relax for a second, take a breath, and go, what is the next move and when can I make it? Whereas doing it then, as we said before, there's still several votes to go. There's 9 or 10 or whatever it is now. There's a long way to go, and to lose that protection – I think he made the right move, and it was the right thing for him to do.
Yeah.
Even if he had the ability to do something else, and he potentially did, but I don't think it was the right thing for him to do.
Yeah. So I want to, you know, transition now to the Danzy, because the Danzy has been awarding the best player of the season. And, you know, Stephen Lecanto has been looking after our table on Twitter. You can check that out, and we'll post the link to that. But I'm going to put all the power into your hands, people. I want you to give me your 3 votes, your 2 votes, and your 1 vote. I want you to each do this for me. I'm relinquishing control to you guys. I'm going to regret this, I'm sure. But who have you got for 1 vote as the 3rd best player of the episode? Kat, we'll start with you.
Fenella.
Fenella.
She is my 1 vote.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she, you know, she showed that she has a social game, and that she was considered for the reward with Matt, and they're willing to work with her. So she gets my 1 vote.
Excellent. Maddie, what do you reckon?
I'm really scared, Kat, that we're going to be doing something very similar for our 3 votes today.
Freaking me out that you guys are – first you agreed with each other, and if that wasn't bad enough, now you're going to be the same person.
Guys, miracles
Fenella,
do happen.
Fenella's in my vote as well.
Okay, fine, good. I love when votes go to Fenella.
It's love.
And why? Same reasons?
I just think she – played it well. She's obviously doing some extra stuff behind the scenes we're not seeing to be able to get in. She was the one, I think, kind of chosen above Shawnee. Yeah. So I think she's doing a little bit more than she is as well. So, I just like her. She's floating along, but hopefully in a way that's not such a float.
the reverse float? I don't know. Who are your 2 votes for, Matt? We'll go with you first so that it looks like Kat's copying you.
Oh, see. I'm going to go... Someone who, I'm going to give him to Matt Rogers.
Okay.
Come on!
Oh, here we go. and Matt is just playing a dominant game. He was really close to getting the 3, I think. But there was someone else that I think got themselves out of a different position than Matt did. But Matt is just playing a really dominant game. As we've said a few times this podcast, I would love to see a little bit more of the strategy and that real hard strategy and really believe in some of the things that he's saying, that it becomes a strategy rather than this whole kind of mate chippy sort of thing and this like different opinion on how he's playing than other people. He's playing a very good game.
Kat?
Yeah, Matt the same too. He has just, he's really asserted his authority, and I think he's done a really couple of good strategic things to show that he is the top dog and that he is kind of in charge, and people want to work with him for that reason. So, my opinion did change of Matt this last couple of episodes. So he definitely gets my 2 votes.
See, I'm fascinated by this because I think that by far and away, he was the best player of the entire week. We have never had in Australian Survivor across all 3 seasons such a dominant force. I think the closest you could possibly come would be Luke, Like, I can't think of one person who's had such control in one person. But so I'm interested to see where these three votes are going. So, Kat, who have you got?
Mine is Shan.
Okay.
She, I think she regained some power. Once we had the Lydia vote and she felt that, she couldn't do anything and she couldn't influence that decision and that she just had to go along with the majority to keep everyone happy. But then she's been pulling these immunities, out of nowhere. She obviously has that good enough of a relationship with Matt that he would be willing to give up immunity for her. And she's just keeping her options open. So she was my number one. I thought she went from not a great position, having kind of been on the outer of the Lydia vote, to then be in a really strong position.
Cool. And Matt, who have you got? I assume you're doing someone different by your shock at Shan.
Yeah, no, it's not a shock at Shan. Shan has played a really good week and she would definitely be up there. I went Benji. And I think that's partly because of, low expectations and the fact that he was able to get himself out of a position where he was alongside Robbie, kind of throw Robbie in a way under the bridge a little bit and at least use that to get on side with Matt and his core alliance. And we've seen already it's played out in one vote where he potentially is now on that champion side. And I think he's in a much stronger position now than he was at the start of the week.
Right. Interesting.
And I think he has gone from one of the worst spots to a good spot.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big movement for him.
Oh, yeah, I just don't see that, his plan to save Robbie didn't work. His plan to get rid of Matt didn't work twice in a row. His plan to throw Sam under the bus really only worked because Sam threw himself under the bus. I'm not really seeing it, but, I do kind of – I take your point. So this is why I hand over the reins. So, but guys, there's one thing we haven't done. People are supposed to be giving gifts for the hamper. This is what Shannon has told me. I have to shake down my guests for what people are going to donate for the winner. So this is what we've got in the hamper so far, the hamper. So far, the person who wins is going to be able to name my child. You get naming rights. We've also decided that Dez is going to deliver the hamper as a delivery driver. Thanks, Dez. I've retroactively gone back to our other guests and seen, what is it that they are going to donate. I think that, maybe Phoebe will donate some time with Ollie, the border collie. We spoke a lot about that. Maybe Evan will make you a withered snag barbecue. But what is it that Kat and Matt, Fluff and Pump, the real Fluff and Pump, what are you guys going to donate to the winner of the Danzy?
I don't know. What are seen as my strengths?
That's a good question, Kat.
I meant that I have so many, Matthew. It's hard to just pick one. And I also already give enough to charity. So,
Right. Maybe it's like maybe a caftan or something like that. You told me that you're more than just a caftan, but maybe some style lessons for Kat.
Sure, or it's your first cafe latte on me.
Yeah, okay, I like that. Matt, maybe you could donate surf life-saving lessons or something.
I was going to say, Kat, I donate a lot to charity as well. In fact, I'm wearing a Livin' shirt right now, so we all are supporters of fantastic charities. I'm sure Nick is too. I will happily donate a magic trick to the winner. So I'll do a custom magic trick just for them.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. This rehamper gets better and better every week. So I will continue to shake down our guests. And next week's guest, guys, is going to be the lovely Tessa from season 2. So I can't wait to shake her down and see what she can offer to their rehamper. Before we get to, I've got a little game for you. I've got a fantastic little game that I would like to play. And I would like to introduce you to the fantastic game that Shannon has created and I have titled, Have You Got the urge to merge? Dun, dun, dun. What do you think of the name?
Love it.
Okay, good.
Don't think I'll be very good, but I love it.
Okay, so guys, what we are going to do, it is going to be a true battle between we need a name. Is it like Bluff and Rump or something like that? Like, what is it like?
What even is that? No thanks.
Who's Rump?
Matt, you're Rump.
Why am I to laugh?
I don't know.
No, that's just not good.
I'm just imagining Matt in his romp in these little surf life-saving Speedos, and I think it's going to...
Oh, my God, that is not a visual that I want. Thank you.
You're bluff because, you know, you like to lie. You like to get in there and, you know, you said you were going to be – this is why you're bluffing, because you said you were going to be mean to Matt and you've only been nice, and I feel like you sold me a bill of goods. You've bluffed me. You bluffed me to get on the podcast.
I'm not feeling very well, guys. Leave me alone.
I only had you on so that I would have another person here to be mean to Matt. Come on. Like, and now look at you.
Yeah, but then you were late and then you got me offside. Okay, so it's all your fault.
Is that what happened? All right, well, Bluff and Rump, this is what we are going to do. We are going to play a little game about the history of the merge and the first merge episodes of Survivor, both Australian and American Survivor. So I cannot wait to see you guys crash and burn in this quiz. So Shannon, the lovely Shannon Gates has helped me collate some questions, and it'll be one at a time. You will get a question. It'll be the best out of, I've got 10 questions here, so we can, you know, we don't need to do all 10, but, you know, best out of 7. Let's see how we go. I got 10 because I'm worried that some of you won't get any of these, but let's give it a go. People at home, you can play along. So Matt, you are up first. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now you've got a time limit because I don't want anyone, you know, potentially Googling here. So Matt, first quick.
Can I buzz in?
Don't say it. We'll give you the chance to steal. Okay. All right. So Matt, you're up first. First question. What was last year's Australian Survivor? So season 2, what was the merge tribe name?
I know this one.
Matt?
Can I buzz in?
No, he's got to give him a chance to answer it first. Matt?
I barely remember what our tribe name was.
This is the one I know.
Ours was Fia Fia. I feel like it was close to that, though. Was it Fowler Fowler? I don't know.
Very good. Well done, Kat. 1 point on the board. It was Asatoa. I think one of the dumbest names ever, but there you go. Okay, Kat, next question. The merge boot of Survivor Season 1 was your old tribe mate, Connor Blathune, or however you pronounce his name. He went home in a 6-4-1-1-1 vote. Who did Connor vote for?
Oh, man. Who would it? Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to swear. I take this very seriously. I'm going to say he voted for Brooke.
Incorrect. Oh, Matt, would you like to come in with a steal?
I'm going to give it a go because I get the feeling he voted for one of you or I, but I think it was Sue who voted for me, and I think he voted for you.
Correct. Connor voted for Nick. Well done. There we go. Ding. Point one each. Very good. Okay, let's keep going. Who's that? Matt. So what is the fewest number of people at a merge in Survivor history? So the fewest number when the tribes merged.
American and Australian?
American, yeah. And Australian. American. I'll need an answer.
I'm going to go...
quickly.
10.
10? Incorrect. No. Kat, would you like to steal?
I'm going to go 9.
Incorrect. The answer.
Was it 8?
The answer is 8.
Oh, I was going to say that. Damn it.
Okay. Question 4, Kat. What is the most number of people at a merge?
13.
Ding. Correct, Kat. Very good. Woo! Very good. Matt, question. What season did not have an official merge at all?
Oh.
I feel like we need thinking music.
How do I not know this?
I'm going to need your answer, Matthew.
Yeah, I don't. This is. I'm going so poorly here.
You've
Nick.
Got 1 point.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to end, to be honest. Kat, any idea? I've got no idea.
I'm going to need an answer. Incorrect. The answer was Palau, where Stephanie was just absorbed into the Karor tribe. All right.
Yeah.
We keep rolling.
Was that also the smallest merge as well then?
No, it was not. So which season had a pretend merge, Catherine? Which American season had a pretend or fake merge?
Oh, fake merge. Oh, my God. This is...
Five.
Can you give me a clue?
Four, three, two, one. Guess.
Worlds Apart.
Incorrect. Matt, would you like to steal?
I think it was fairly early on, but I don't remember which one it was, but I'm just going to go... let's go Thailand, but I don't actually know. I'm guessing.
Correct. Thailand had the fake merge, which was incidentally also the fewest number of people at that merge with 8, I believe. Okay. Next question. Matt, we are tied 2 apiece here, okay? Spell this season's tribe name. Merge tribe.
Can I answer?
Matt, you've got five.
Yeah.
Matt, you've got 5 seconds. Go. No, wait. I want Matt to try.
I don't even know what it's called. Sabu.
Okay, go.
KOROSABU.
Very good. Ding, 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 Kat. Well done. She's pulled ahead. Next question. Name, Kat, name any hybrid merge name in Survivor history. So this is where they take one tribe and the second tribe, and they merge them together to get a portmanteau mixture name. Can you name any of them in Survivor history? There have been our intern, lovely intern Shannon, says there's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, around 7.
Soloa, which was Heroes Hustlers Villas, because there was a Soku and a Yawa and a Levu, and that was all 3 together.
Kat, you are... correct. Solewa is the merge tribe from Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, the Levu, Soko, and Yawa tribe. Congratulations, Kat. You're on 4 points. All right. Last. Matthew, are you ready? This is the last round of questioning.
Let's do it.
Who of these people was not a mayor of Jury Villa in their original season? Okay. You need to get this right for there even for you to be a chance to win, okay? If you don't get this right, Kat is the winner. Who of these people was not a mayor of Jury Villa in their original season? Was it A, Eliza in Micronesia, B, Hayley Ford in Worlds Apart, C, Andrew Savage in Cambodia, or D, Aris Bashkauskas in Blood versus Water? Now, I know I said original season, but it doesn't matter because I've just said the season.
Hard one. That is hard.
So who was not the mayor of Jury Villa, Matt?
Aris.
Incorrect. Incorrect. The answer is Andrew Savage.
Yeah, he went quite far, didn't he?
No, he can't. He was the second member of the jury after the lovely Chaos Cast. Kat, you are the winner.
Are we surprised? I mean, yay!
With a 4-2 Kat, victory.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised in the absolute slightest.
Well, well done. I think that was...
Thanks for the faith, Matt.
Congratulations, Kat. You have the urge to merge. Excellent. Well, we've got some quick...
Thanks, guys. I'm going to put that on my LinkedIn profile.
Excellent. Very good. We've got some questions here, if you shall indulge the listeners. Are you ready? We have a lot of talk about Grubby this week, as Brian Lake has been nicknamed Grubby, and we had a great scene of him scrubbing down his parts in the ocean. Who was Jonathan Lillia want to know, who was the Grubby in your tribes? Kat, we'll start with you.
Ours was Rowan. He was literally always dirty. And, yeah, I just don't know how he got so dirty. But, yeah, definitely from Aganoa, that was him.
Okay. Matt?
I get the feeling it might have been me, Nick, and it's not by choice. And I don't think I meant to do it, but it wasn't until like I got voted out and you guys were talking about how I would pick at my feet all the time. And I had no idea I was doing it. So I don't think you guys really appreciated that. So it probably would have been me.
It was 100% you. Yes, that is correct. Yael Kion says, is Matt the Aussie Boston Rob? I really like this comparison. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I appreciate the comparison, but I don't know if I am. I'm probably more of a Sam. Do you mean Matt Rogers? He probably is, yeah. He's probably the Sam. Is that good?
Not really.
Let's cut that again then.
Because I just think that he's got such a stranglehold on this game. He's got these people who are willing to do his bidding. Everyone wants to be working with him. And while people are targeting him, it's never really coming to fruition, just kind of like what happened with Boston Rob in Redemption Island. It's never really coming to fruition. Now, we don't know what's going to happen next week. We've been teased that it's going to be a really good episode. But does anyone feel that comparison?
It's a very good comparison.
Okay.
Oh, really? I agree with it completely.
Cat,
I think,
what do you think?
He plays very similar.
Hell no. Boston Rob is like a god. Right. I don't see Matt in that light at all.
I think Matt's got to, he's got to prove himself. If he can get to the end, then I think that we can make that comparison. But I could see the beginnings. I can see the beginnings. John Johnston says, did you see the behind the scenes of Tribal Council almost being swept away? And Jonathan tweeted this out, and it's a footage from during the day. Did anyone see this?
I did. It's crazy.
In Tribal Council, entirely underwater. It's like, have it on day 30, which I think was the day that Heath went home. And it was insane. You just see everything completely flooded with the king tide that came in. So everyone get out there and check that out. That was intense. That was definitely intense.
Yeah, and it really shocked me. I didn't realize how close it was, to the beach. Like, it was right on the beach. So I was really shocked by that because ours was completely, inland and high up. So, really, it was crazy to see.
Rebecca Vary asks, is Benji's main objective to shit stir or to win? Matt, what do you think?
I think ideally for him, he wants to do a bit of both because I think he wants to really create great one-liners for TV. He wants to be a TV character, I think, and I think he has learnt very well and Elise how to do that. And I think in a lot of the things that he says in his confessionals especially, you can tell that they are rehearsed lines and he was well aware getting into the game what he was going to say. But from a game perspective, I think he's out there to attempt to win. There's a bit of shit-stirring nature of him, I think, which is probably just naturally who he is. But I think he's going to hopefully do both. But I think maybe the shit-stirring is a bit more unintentional.
I think that he definitely saw what happened with Jericho last season, the whole war analogies. And I do really think that he understands that you speak in metaphors and that is what is going to get you, on the show, in the confessionals. He had the queen metaphor, the king and queen with Heath and Tegan. Now he's talked about painting this masterpiece. Now he's got this Godfather thing happening. And, that's what producers want. They want people that will speak in sound bites. Lemoyne Joseph asked, based on the foreshadowing for next week, who do you think would be the most in danger of going home? And it's already been foreshadowed that there potentially could be two idols played. What do you guys think is going to happen next week? And I know that none of you are spoiled, so what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's definitely going to be like a Matt v. Benji situation. Benji survived the vote. He's willing to do anything, and Matt and people are realizing that Matt is a huge threat. So I think that's what's going to happen, but I have no idea.
Matt, what do you reckon?
Yeah, a bit the same. I have been feeling that Benji's getting himself back in, but looking at what's ahead, maybe that's not actually what's about to happen. Maybe they are about to go head to head. And I get the feeling that we're going to see both idols being played, but God, it's hard to see if that's what happens. I don't know. It does look like an epic tribal though, and they're really building up to something again. So, but I think both will be played.
If it is both idols being played, and we get a zero-vote tribal council, then that's pretty amazing that that would happen in three seasons of Survivor, considering it took, what, 31 to happen in American Survivor. So I think that would be really cool, and I would love to see who that's kind of the blowback is going to be. And so let's just run this through, because Lemoyne's question is that. So let's say that half the tribe votes for Benji and half the tribe votes for Matt, or some sort of iteration of that, and they both get zero votes, and then it has to go to another vote at the last minute that no one was kind of, you know, banking on. Who do you think the fallback would be, Matt?
Well, so there's what, nine left, isn't there, I think. So
you take those two off the table, plus you take someone who's won immunity off the table. So we go from nine, now we're down to six. So it's going to be, you know, one of six people. We don't know who. You know, could you see this? This is where, you know, Shawnee and Fenella get cut, or is this like an instance where, all right, well, we can't get Matt, we go for Steve?
That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, but that's a pretty good chance, I think, that someone like Steve, it would be a target. I guess the thing, Steve is the sort of guy that I could see winning a challenge, so potentially he wouldn't, you know, that might be something that happens. I don't know.
It'd definitely be interesting.
It could, just looking into the kind of the edit of it all, I actually kind of feel like Monica might be a chance as well, just because we have literally seen none of her, and maybe she is just the victim of a terrible edit and a terrible situation where she goes out in a really crappy way for her, and maybe this is it. I don't know.
I said last week Monica will be at the final tribal council. You mark my words, young people, or at least making the finale. What? And getting zero votes.
I mean, she's getting nothing. She's getting less than a Peter. She's getting less than a Jared.
She's getting the Peter L third place treatment. The poison.
She's not.
The poison challenge chalice three third place, where, you know, you've probably got game going on that, like, we as the viewers don't see, but the people out there do see, and that and even if she doesn't, I feel like she's instrumental in people's plans to getting to the end, and she's going to get there, and people are going to want to sit next to her because no one's going to vote for her. So that's my theory. We'll see what happens.
At this stage, even like Peter had 20 confessionals. She's had five.
Yeah.
Like it's a completely, I don't know if it's the same situation. I think there's something else there. But I don't know. That is just an absolute guess looking into a really odd edit for her.
We haven't spoken about it. What did you guys think of the breathing underwater challenge? That was pretty intense, wasn't it?
Oh my God. Like, I'm not scared of water and all confined spaces, but holy crap, that challenge freaks me out. I don't think I would have done very well, because as soon as you start to panic when you can't breathe, like, how do you come back from that?
Yes.
So I admired everybody for even giving that a go. And I think the first person went out after an hour, which is like amazing. So
yeah, the cold, fish, Brian's piss. Like,
I thought it was like next level challenge though, which I really liked. Like, that was a hardcore challenge. And after the last couple of more fluffier ones, I really did like that.
Yeah, I really liked
the one.
Sorry, go.
That was the one challenge that I was scared was going to come up in our season. And I was just petrified that it was eventually going to come out. And that's from someone who's done 3 hours of life saving. So these guys to go out there and do it. huge props.
What about, so, because, you know, on that, you know, Yael Keon says, do you think Shane knew that Matt was unsafe when she let him have immunity? Because she says, you know, that, you know, I could hear that it was just Matt and I, and she gives it to Matt. You know, do you think she knew that she'd heard that Matt was going home, or do you think that she just kind of didn't want the immunity for some reason? I thought that was really odd.
Who knows with Shane? Oh, she is all over the shop.
Everything she does is the best. The last question the last question I have, Matt, this is for you. And this is by the official Survivor AU Twitter. Official Survivor AU asks, Matt, how many times have you considered leaving Twitter after being roasted by the account? If anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, get onto Twitter. Follow the official at Survivor_AU. This is the official account of the show, and they not only put up the best GIFs, memes, content, etc., but they roast Matt Tarrant on a near weekly basis, near daily basis, and it's
daily.
It's great. Matt, how does it make you feel?
It's very hard, and it does hurt inside, I think, sometimes. to know that there are people out there like that Survivor Twitter page that are so mean and cruel to someone that is so well loved by the community.
No, they're not doing it to Kat. Oh, you meant you. Oh, sorry.
Oh, thanks, Nick. You're back in my good book.
Yeah, see, I could be late again and you would always forgive me. Guys.
Oh, look, I'm all for creating bad content. And I create a lot of bad content when I was on the show, so I'm glad that I'm creating even more outside for these guys as well to have a go at me. So it's good. Bit of fun.
Guys, we are at the end of the podcast, and thank you so much for stopping by. Did you enjoy your time in the three-way danger zone?
I've had better three-ways, but it'll suffice.
I would have much preferred just a session of you, Nick, I'll be honest. That's okay. Next time we can cut the fat.
Well, aren't you the fat because you're rump?
I guess I am. I don't know.
She's getting real awkward, guys.
I think that I was going to ask you what the hashtag should be, but I think it's got to be hashtag bluff and rump for sure. That's
that is the worst.
What about gruff and rump? Because you're always pretty gruff cat. You always pretty gab your nose out of joint about something. Oh, God.
Well, I'm a really delightful person, but whatever.
No, let's do that. Hashtag gruff and rump because I'm cracking myself up over here. Sorry, guys. This is great. Oh, God. Guys, where can people find you on the socials? Because you guys do put out a lot of Survivor content. Sometimes it's just like Matt. Sometimes it's you getting roasted. But other times it's great Survivor content. So where can people find you?
You can find me. Just go on the Australian Survivor Twitter page and you'll find all my links there because they'll probably roasted me that day, but it's Matt on Twitter and Matt Tarrant AU on Instagram.
Awesome. Kat, for you.
And if you want to join my social media family, which currently has about 3 people, it's Kat_DeMont. And because I work in marketing, I'm so consistent. That's for both Instagram and Twitter.
Oh, good. I like that. Yeah, Rob Cessini is a fan of a clear Twitter handle, so well done. Guys, that takes us to the end. Thank you so much for stopping by. I hope it was everything you wanted to be and more, even if it wasn't the best three-way you've ever had. And next week, people, we will be chatting with Tessa, so we'll get your questions in for that. You can always find me on Twitter at Nick Idanza. Join the fun and looking forward to chatting with you guys next week. Thank you so much and bye.
Adios.
Bye.